All right, good morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Privilege to be here among your people. Blessing that's to be ours. Part of your church. Nothing like the church, Father. Be part of that. And what you have in store for us today. With each other. Opportunities that we have. Practice what we're going to teach. Hear the word. Have the Spirit of God work in our hearts, hearing truth. Being conformed more to the image of your Son. Being able to lift up your name together in the new song. What a day we have. So we thank you in advance for all you're going to do to with us and in us. And oh, how we thank you what you've done for us and how we're going to remember that in the Lord's Supper today. Bless our time together. Thank you for these faithful, persevering people in our study of the basic truths of the Christian life that we want to not only be knowing about, but to be doers of the word as well. We'll give you thanks for it. You're worthy of all the praise and all glory from our time. And we pray this in Christ's name. And everyone would say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let them in. Okay, let them in. Unlock the door, let them in. I have had a father-in-law, he's in glory now, but a father-in-law who could fix, make, repair anything. He, last years of working, he was like a troubleshooter for a hardware store. You know, anything going wrong need to be repaired. Anything at home that need to be built, he could do it. That was my father-in-law. And then Deborah had one brother, and her brother was a lot like Dad in that he became a finished carpenter. And always people begging him for work for them because he would do things just so excellent as a finished carpenter. And then in the good providence of God, my wife married someone whose favorite tools is duct tape and super glue. And so none of that came on my way. But in the providence of God, again, in his mercy and his grace, when I heard the gospel and God brought the gospel, the good news about Christ and his substitutionary death for a sinner like me, and he saved me, I didn't know it, but at that very time, God did a work in my life to equip me in time through development and learning to be able to serve people in a very unique way in terms of giftedness. And if you're in Christ, we learn from this lesson, he did the same thing in your life. We have all been sovereignly, divinely gifted, graced. You know, salvation is all about grace. Christian life is all about grace. He has graced us. He has gifted us to be able to serve others in the body of Christ. And there is nothing, beloved, listen to me, there is nothing like the church. Nothing like the church in the way that God has worked for it to function and it to serve and it to worship and be on display to the world of what he has done in the lives of his people and how he works among us. Now, when we're talking about spiritual gifts, it can be boiled down to we're talking about the way that God has equipped us to minister to other people, to help others be better for Christ. I'm talking about believers now in the church, in the body of Christ. He has empowered us in particular ways. We're talking about how we, you know, discover that in a moment, but particular ways to be able to help others, one another, be better for Christ. Now, I asked you to turn to Philippians chapter 2 because there's a sense in which here's where it starts. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard, and notice these next words, one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interests of others. And then in verse 5 and following, we have the supreme example of this, don't we, in the person and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to add with this Philippians 2 that talks about one another's and putting others before ourselves. That's the focus here. Alongside of this verse, we would put the Mark 10:45. Christ came not to be served, but to what?
To serve.
Okay? So if we don't have the mindset of serving, spiritual gifts is just an academic exercise for us. But if we have the mindset of Christ and the example of the life of Christ, we want to be a blessing and be a benefit to one another in the body of Christ. Now, that's not all that we're here for, because we got next week's lesson. And next week's lesson has to do with our relationship with people who are outside of Christ. And we're here for that, too. But we're primarily talking about the reference with spiritual gifts here today. So, we've come today to worship God and to build up others. And what we're going to talk about is about spiritual gifts is not just something that takes place on a Sunday. This is far beyond a Sunday. And I pulled something out of my file here, and you should have a copy of it, or just sharing with somebody else the copy. I don't know if you don't have to have one for all of you. Just be able to take a glance at this. But on that page is everything that you've been given by God as ministry to other people. There are over 31 another's in the New Testament. This is your ministry. We used to have fines at PPC. And one of the fines that we used to have people put a dollar in the offering box. Nobody ever obeyed me on this, but I tried it anyhow. Okay? Is that you didn't get to call me the minister. Because ministry is serving. And all of us are called to serve. And here's examples right from the scriptures. These are all mandates. They're not suggestions. And look at this. We are to give preference to one another. We're to be devoted to one another. We're to be of same mind. We're to build up, and on and on and on it goes. This is where spiritual giftedness will flesh out. When we're servants and we take seriously all the various ways that God has called us to be a blessing to one another. Now, let me stop here and just kind of approach the bench, can I? Can I get a little pointed here? Can I?
Yes.
People come to church and they go, well, you know, nobody talked to me today. You got it upside down. You've got it upside down. And frankly, if I could say, I'm afraid about this being recorded, but the people who come and they've got, you know, I came to your church twice and nobody talked to me. Go somewhere else. Really. You got it upside down, friend. Now, we want to be a friendly church and care about people. Amen? 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 But we're not here for ourselves. You shouldn't have walked in here this morning about yourself. Right now, you shouldn't have. Right now, walked in here. Did I scare you out of here? You get the drift. Amen? You get the drift of this. Now, one of the ways that we accommodate the one another's is you're going to hear about care groups today. I think there's going to be an insert in the bulletin with reference to care group. Now, that may not work for you, but it's going to work for a lot of you to be able, on a regular basis, get together with a smaller group of people to be able to practice the one another's, to encourage one another, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens, and there's a lot of that stuff that goes around. Amen? Hold one another up and so forth. So one of the ways that this carries out, we want to remember that when I'm talking about our ministry to one another, we're not just talking about Sundays. We're also talking about, when we talk about spiritual gifts, the reality that Jesus said, well, he's quoted in Acts 20:35. He taught us, it's more blessed to get than to give. Amen? Yeah. Some of you think you have the spiritual gift of getting. Well, you don't. Okay? What did Christ model? What did he instruct? It is more blessed to give than to receive. So where's the blessing found among one another in the Christian life? Being a blessing and encouragement and a help and having ministry with each other. Now, we have to learn that, and we have to think that way, because we are all naturally, without God's help, we're all naturally selfish people. We're all naturally focused upon ourselves. So, when we're talking about spiritual gifts, we're talking about ways that God has worked in your life, even at the moment that he saved you, although it takes time and development and learning from the Word of God how that fleshes out in our lives. But it's an exciting thing to think about this. Now, to our book, our syllabus. Notice how the Word of God confirms what I've been saying. 1 Corinthians 12:7, lesson 15. But to each one, that's us in Christ, is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What's the common good? The body of Christ, one another. And Peter confirms the fact that all of us, at least in one way, have been divinely enabled or equipped to be a help to one another, as each one has received a special gift. Employ it. We could say put it to work in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now you say, well, wait a minute, I ain't going to serve anybody until I know what my spiritual gift is. Oh, I know my spiritual gift is because I might try to be blessing somebody and it might not be go real well. So I need to take one of those tests. I think I pulled that out of my file likewise. Here's a test where you can answer 50 questions, and then you can find out what your spiritual gift is. Now, let me give you a word for this. It's called B-O-L-O-G-N-E. Now, let me tell you why. There's nothing in the Bible. Learning your spiritual gift by taking a test is kind of like learning how to swim reading a book. If you're going to learn how to swim, you've got to get in the water. So how does this flesh out in our lives? God is not the author of confusion, is he? Just serve. Anyway, you have an opportunity to serve and be a blessing to others. It's gonna flesh out in your life. Notice the paragraph underneath the box. Spiritual gifts are given by God to believers to equip them for ministry. I have written above there, it's not a smorgasbord. Or as our kids used to say when they were little, a gorgasbord. Well, it's not pick and choose, okay? Doesn't work that way. God sovereignly dispenses these things. So, to believers, to equip them for ministry within the body of Christ, the church. They're called spiritual gifts because they are sovereignly distributed by the Spirit and exercised in the power of the Holy Spirit. They are from the Greek word or Greek term charis. Oh, you've heard that before. That's the word grace. So what are spiritual gifts? They're spiritual graces. Spiritual graces. They're from God. Because they're neither earned nor deserved. Now, spiritual gifts, let me take it up one more notch. They are distinct from skills, talents, or abilities. We have a great, great leader of our finance team, which is Lynn Phillips. Faithful brother. And Lynn puts out to us in expanded form a very detailed financial report, and there's other people on the financial team to make sure we do everything with integrity and the handling of the Lord's finances here. The fact that he is skilled as an accountant, although that's not his degree perhaps, is not a spiritual gift. Now, God's using it to the glory of God, but it's not necessarily a spiritual gift. The fact that we're going to probably have Catherine or Carolyn play today, boy, we thank God for them, do we not? Amen? Amen. And the ability that they have developed with practice and so forth to serve the body of Christ is a wonderful thing, but that's not a spiritual gift. Scott over there is he's skilled in electronics. I've taught him everything he knows about electronics, but man, does he serve us, and does he serve me. And I'm glad that, but it's not a spiritual gift. It's not a spiritual gift per se. Spiritual gifts are unique ways that God You've seen them in the some of the examples of him in the scriptures. So they're distinct. But God wraps all this stuff into who you are as a person to be able to minister in unique ways to other people. Who possesses spiritual giftedness? 1 Peter 4:10, every believer. Who is the source? Holy Spirit. What is the purpose? The common good, we've read that. The edification, the building up of others. That's why we should, every Sunday, we could almost sing, make me a blessing to someone today, right? 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 6, what fact about spiritual gifts is repeated three times? That they come in all kinds of ways, varieties, I think is the New American Standard word, diversities. Spiritual gifts flesh out in all different kinds of ways, all different kinds of effects, and all different kinds of results. Because we're different. And how we do things are different. How we say things, so forth. So it's just a wonderful, wonderful variety that fleshes out in the church. Paul uses the example of the human body, and every member of the human body is important for the body to function in a healthy way. You ever stubbed your toe? Makes a difference, doesn't it? It's just a toe, right? Or you get something in your eye and like this. I've got a different pair of glasses. My lens fell out of my other glasses that were broken. I stuck them into some another pair that they provided for me that the lenses would fit, so I didn't have to go through the whole thing of doing the eye exam and so forth. And now I'm kind of adjusting to that, so forth. Eye, feet, fingers, bones, every muscle. It all makes a difference to the healthy body. It's the perfect analogy to the body of Christ. So then we have lists, spiritual gifts referenced to in the scriptures. There's a list here in 1 Corinthians. I'm not going to read all of these and talk about everyone per se, wisdom, knowledge, faith, so forth. There's another list in 1 Corinthians, another list in Romans chapter 12 on page 58. You probably filled in the blank there with different ones that are listed. Now let me make a comment about this that is not a conviction of my own. I think it's of many, and I think it's accurate, and that is I think the list that we're given of spiritual giftedness in the scriptures are merely examples for us of the various ways. I think they're primary examples. Now the ones concerning the ones that were temporary are specific about with reference to authenticate the ministry and the message of Christ's proxies, his men, of his apostles, okay? Of his apostles. So we have ones that are temporary gifts. Are you following me yet? On the middle of page 58, temporary gifts that have ceased with the ministry of the apostles and with the provision of the scriptures as a whole. So we have temporary gifts that were given. God, you say, well, wait a minute, doesn't God still do miracles? Isn't the answer prayer about the various things in our life? Doesn't God still heal? That's not the issue. We're not talking about God here. We're talking about people who are gifted in particular ways. And if you look at with me at 2 Corinthians 12:12, Pastor has mentioned this with reference to the apostles. They proclaimed the gospel, and they proclaimed the gospel, the apostles did, in power and sign and evidence that their message was from God. And 2 Corinthians 12:12 says the signs of a, what? True apostle. Well, that reminds us there wasn't only true apostles, there were what? Yeah, and there, we've got false apostles in quote-unquote Christendom today. But the signs of a true apostle were performed among you. How? By signs and wonders and miracles. Jesus gave his apostles power to do the very works that he did to authenticate their ministry and their message. And some others in the case like the apostle Paul and so forth. So there were temporary gifts that were given that were foundational to the church, Ephesians 4 tells us. And then there are these permanent, or we would call functional, gifts that are in the church today that are listed, some of the examples, on page 59 and page 60. Now, listing prophecy here is kind of dangerous because Pastor's going to talk about prophecies this morning from the text. But when we use that word in terms of permanent gifts, we're just talking about proclaiming God's word. We're not talking about new revelation. We're not talking about people in the church today as we're in the early church without the completion of the scriptures. We're not talking about people in the church today who get up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and they're giving new revelation from God. That's not going on. I mean, that's going on, but it's not from God. I've heard the example in a particular church where there was some things that were going on in the church, and somebody got up and said, "Thus saith the Lord," and they gave a prophecy about something that they believed was the will of God for the church. And somebody else got up and said, "Thus saith the Lord," and gave a prophecy that was contrary to the one that the person got up and said, "Thus saith the Lord." And then what are you going to do there? You see, it's not from the Lord. That's the whole point. You add the human element in this, and it's always going to be mucked up. So the word prophecy here about permanent gifts simply has to do with the fact that you give out the word from the Bible. Well, hey, we all ought to have that gift. Amen? We ought to talk more about what God says than what we think or what we feel. But just a word about how that is abused. The gift of teaching. Faith. Oh, trusting God. Now, let's just talk about teaching. Somebody says, well, they have the gift of teaching. One of the ways that that gift is confirmed is not by somebody saying, "I got the gift of teaching." The way giftedness is confirmed in the church is by the body of Christ and others and leadership. It's one thing for somebody to say, "I have this unique giftedness." It's another thing for others to say, "We see that. We see that in your life." Maybe I could press this a little bit. There's been people who've said, "I've had the gift of preaching," and they're the only person who thinks they have the gift. And homiletics teachers in seminaries have told me one of the hardest thing is for young men to come to seminary and to say, "God has called me to be a preacher." And it's evident over time, trying to help them in homiletics, which is the art of preaching, to see, listen, there are many other ways for you to serve God. Discipling, so forth. But in terms of preaching the word of God, you don't have the gift. That'd be a hard thing to tell somebody. But I'm pointing out the fact to you that the way this giftedness is confirmed, and this is a wonderful thing, to see how somebody is just serving in a unique way and to be able to say, you know, I see God's grace working in your life the way that you are able to exhort people, or the way that you pray with such confidence. And I see that giftedness in your life, and that people can be encouraged by the way that they're seeking to just be faithful in serving others, and these things surface. There's a gift of wisdom, great wisdom, insight into things. Yet at the same time, if the Bible tells us to do anything, it tells us to get wisdom, doesn't it? And you read the Proverbs. Oh, my, what a great, great book about gaining wisdom, knowledge. Knowledge is, wisdom is the use of knowledge, but there's a gift of understanding facts about certain things and so forth. But it's hard to just nail these down specifically as they're mentioned in the New Testament, but to see them surface in people's lives. There's the gift of discernment, much needed in the church. Discernment is to look under the surface of what's going on or being said and see what's really taking place. And discernment is the ability to separate out what's true from what's not true. And we all want the number one need in the church today is for people to grow in their discernment. You don't think so? Turn on the wacko stations on television and look at all the nonsense and people buying into that and people saying things and making all kinds of claims but not showing you where from the Word of God we get that. There's only one place that we get discernment. All of us need to grow in discernment. We get discernment by our growing and our knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures. The Scriptures give us the ability to discern. But some really have that. Some have that as a giftedness. Then there's a gift of mercy. People who come alongside and show particular care, concern with reference to others. And they're a great example to us. Next page, exhorting others, ability to encourage and motivate, giving. I can't tell you over the years the people in the church that I've seen who are gifted as givers, and there's a need presented, and they come and they say, hey, I want to get in on this, but I don't want anybody to know it. See, because they want the blessing of it without anybody knowing it, and they're giving. What a job. You are doing as people who are faithful and good givers to PBC. It's just amazing how you are such an example and such a blessing. I don't know if you've been here any amount of time. Do you ever remember us getting up in the pulpit here and banging on the pulpit and saying, boy, we got to give more to take care of this? You ever heard that here? Yep, we haven't needed it here because of God's people being faithful in terms of their own giving. But any way that you pat yourself on the back, don't do that. Just give all the glory to God the way he's equipped you to give. Amen? Amen. Then there's people who are really skilled in administrating or leadership. We had one of our daughters used to say all the time that she was kind of gifted in administration. We felt like she was gifted in being a bully, but she felt like it was administration. We used to go for a little walk, Deborah and I, or whatever, and when all four kids were at home yet, and the first question they'd ask is, who gets to be in charge while you're gone? That's the one who wanted to be an administrator. Gift of helps. You know, a million ways that fleshes out. But there are people just come alongside and help, aiding, bearing burdens, and so forth. And then there's the gift of service in particular ways. Obviously, we read each one of these and we say, well, I want to grow in these areas. And we should say amen to that. What I'm pointing out to you, these are addressed to us in the Scriptures as giftedness within the body of Christ. And I want to say one more time, don't sit contemplating what's yours. Just be a blessing and serve others. God is not the author of confusion. He will not work against you in this. He will make evident where and what and how you best serve over time. So the exercise of spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 13 states how gift can be void of a blessing and benefit to anyone. What is it? That we serve without love. There it is. Seen the bumper sticker that says, God loves you and I'm trying? Right? Mm-hmm. Remind you again. Now, why does 1 Corinthians 13 start? I don't care if you've got the greatest gift in the whole world. I'm paraphrasing. If you can preach like the Apostle Paul and you don't have love for people, you are nothing but a noise. Now think about that. And remember, loving one another is not that I feel warm and fuzzy about all of you or vice versa. It is that we are committed to the good and well-being of one another. Amen. That's what it means to love each other. We're committed to the good and well-being of each other. We want to see each other grow in Christ, know Christ, and grow in Christ without love. So we're all praying, God, help us to love others more. You know, I love you, and God loves you, and I'm trying to love others more. And help us to love our lost neighbors and lost friends and lost family. Likewise, with the gospel. That's next week. What attitude must be avoided in the exercise of your gift? 1 Corinthians 12:25. Let me just read because I don't remember. 1 Corinthians 12. So that there may be no divisions in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. So what attitude must be avoided in the exercise of our giftedness? Just our care for one another. I have, in my notes, I have divisiveness. Does that make sense to you? Yeah, my gift is more important than yours, yes. You know? Yes. What I do is more important than what you do. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. We're just grateful for each other and how God has worked in our lives to be able to be a blessing to each other. Matt here is good at making pancakes. But it's not a gift, Matt. But I'm grateful for it.
It's the batter.
It's the batter. It's the batter. My pancakes are better than your pancakes, Matt. Okay? See, those exercising their gift to be seen or recognized by others will be reflecting a... And that's our biggest problem, isn't it? Our greatest, get it down in your thinking. The supreme virtue that we want to exhibit is humility. Others first. Philippians 2, right? That's our greatest virtue that we're pursuing. As Pastor Lennon, the man who discipled me, used to say, he was the most humble man in the world and proud of it, right? That's not what we're talking about. Amen? Okay? Humility puts others first, the example of Christ. Our greatest vice, virtue, vice, our greatest vice, our greatest problem is our pride. At the core, at the root of all of my sin and your sin is pride, It relates to self. So we want to be careful about exercising giftedness in order to be seen or to be better or to be recognized and gain glory that belongs to who?
God.
Belongs to God. See it? All right, page 61. Jesus exposed the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. He revealed their sinful, self-centered heart by declaring, there it is. Everybody read it with me. They do all their to be. Spiritual gifts are to accomplish what results in the body. Body of Christ, and it is building up one another, right? In addition to the good of others, spiritual gifts are to be exercised for the glory of God. There it is. Those two are key. So discover your spiritual giftedness. The Bible doesn't explicitly explain how to determine your gifts. An obedient Christian will serve and build up others whenever and however he finds opportunity. As you do so, you will discover you have been graced with particular ability to serve in some ways better than others. Likewise, others will be able to give you counsel and direction as you prayerfully consider your giftedness. In the church, make yourself available to leadership for ministry and seek their counsel in ways that you can grow and serve. Through the sanctification, that is our growth, that comes, there it is, by growth in the Word and serving others, your spiritual giftedness will surface and develop. Just leave that up to leadership and to others. Just serve. So some reminders here, just in closing, concerning this lesson. That'll give us a minute or two to get into lesson 16, okay? Just some reminders, preeminent all. Here we go. Some reminders. I've got five of them, reminders about spiritual gifts. Number one, foremost of all, be a servant, right? Be a servant, number one. Mark 10:45. And don't waste your opportunities. Don't waste your opportunities. Secondly, be an encourager or builder up of others with thoughtful speech. With thoughtful speech. And turn to the Proverbs 15. With thoughtful speech. Now underneath that, always remembering the primary way we encourage others is with the Word of God. Right? With the Word of God. Nothing wrong with looking at somebody and saying, you know, I thank God for you. You're a blessing to me. Nothing wrong with that. But a primary way we build up and encourage others in speech is with the Word of God. So your brother or sister here is going through something, you're aware of it, and you've got their phone number, and you can text them. You just text them and let them know what they mean to you, and attach a verse that encourages their heart. Because the word is more powerful than your word. Amen. Your word doesn't go to the core of our being. God's word is quick and powerful and sharp. Gives us hope. Gives us hope. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. Mouth of fools spouts folly. Look at that. Tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. Look at verse 4. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. Soothing tongue, verse 4. Look over at verse 23. A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. And I don't think there is any verse in the scriptures more practical than James 1:19. You don't need to turn there, you know it. Let everyone be quick to hear and slow to speak. Now, that's not a call for you to talk like you come from the South, okay? That's a call for you to think before you speak. Boy, would I love to have a lot of the things that I've said back. How about you? Because they were not thought through well. So we think in terms of, we want to build up encouragement. We want to think, what would God have me to say be encouragement to this person? How delightful is a timely word? I think I've conveyed with you before, forgive me if I've done that, because as you get old, you say the same things over and over again, okay? But I was ready to throw in the towel in seminary and had a key teacher say to me, "Boob Kevin," and he said some words of real encouragement that stuck with me, kept me from throwing in the towel. So years later, I reminded him what that meant to me. Now, he didn't remember it, but I remembered it. There's things you're going to say to somebody else, they're going to remember maybe the rest of their life because of how it was a timely word that came from you. Boy, spiritual gifts, okay, great, but how important this is in the Christian life. Amen? All right, be an encourager, build up with thoughtful speech. Use the word of God. We could just keep in Proverbs, but I just for a moment. Third, just remembering concerning giftedness and ministry with one another. Third, a mature saint can serve and exercise giftedness without recognition. Without recognition. There are approval junkies in the church. Is you one of them? I hope not. A mature saint can serve and be a blessing to others. Well, I tried to encourage that person with the text, or I wrote them a note or whatever else, or spoke to them, and they didn't thank me. Grow up. Sorry. But I mean, really, right? You got to be stroked. That's a child. Mature saints aren't after that, because they're doing the things they do to the glory of God. Can we edit this thing later? Okay? Number four, develop your giftedness with excellence. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever we do, whether we eat or we drink, and we're pretty good at that, do all to the glory of God. Okay, I've gotten personal today. Let me do it one more time. You know what the problem is in the church with things getting done? It's volunteer. It's on a volunteer basis. You know the problem with that? We can't fire you. So if you do something and you don't do it well, we just have to say thank you. But we demand things to be done as well as they can possibly be done, because God is worthy of that. Now, don't take that and run with it and say, oh boy, we better build a $9 million. You know, don't take that and run with that in silly ways. But we want to do everything we do as well as it can possibly be done to make God look good. Amen? Amen. So giftedness, however it serves, I'm fleshing out, do it with excellence, with all of your heart. 5, let others know how you see evidence of grace, of God's grace in their lives. Let others know how you see evidence of that, God's grace in your life, in their life, even your husband or your wife, and how you see, you're good at serving in this way. What an encouragement that can be. Okay, I just want to prep us into lesson 16. Into lesson 16. Now, we've been talking about the church, right? And there's nothing like the church. But we isn't here just for us. Check? You know, it's kind of like family. Like with our kids growing up, you know, children believe, and I believe that too of my parents, children believe parents were created to exist to make them happy. Amen? So, Dad, what are we doing tonight? You know, pizza, this, or whatever else. And, we're going to go and we're going to rake leaves for this widow. You know, I have pizza in mind, right? So we have to teach them. We have to teach and model how to serve and be a blessing to others. So serving, yep, but that's body life. That's body life. That's the church. Now, when few minutes here, we're going to join together in singing the new song. But there's going to be a day when we really sing the new song. Around the throne, worthy is the Lamb. We're going to sing. Great. So what we do now in worship, we're really going to do well in heaven. Amen? And just in terms of the joy and so forth that we have now, fellowship, the fellowship that we enjoy among one another is a great, great, great blessing. But we're going to have real, unhindered by any selfishness or sin, we're going to have fellowship in glory with the saints. Oh my, won't it be something? So what we do now, we're going to do really well when we get to eternity. But there's one thing we ain't going to do in heaven and we're called to do now. And that's the gospel. That's sharing Christ with others. Now, we understand our soteriology, our doctrine of salvation. We understand salvation is of the Lord. Right? Salvation is of the Lord. Anybody says, well, I won that person to Christ. You know the old story about D.L. Moody's on a train and he's heading somewhere. Anybody ever heard of D.L. Moody? Okay. Most of you not. Great saint, evangelist from years gone by. totally, senior moment. It's on a train. And moving somewhere else, and there's some guy is intoxicated and he's kind of falling down between the seats working his way, and he stumbles over and he sees D.L. Moody, and he sees him and he recognizes him and he goes, you're D.L. Moody. He says, I'm one of your converts. D.L. Moody said, you must be one of my converts, because if you were one of God's converts, you wouldn't be in the situation you're in. Amen. So we're not making converts, but man, we are getting seed out there. The seed of God's word, the seed of the gospel. One plants, another waters, but what does God do? He gives the increase. We're going to talk next week about a twofold evangelism. One aspect of our evangelism is with our life. The other aspect of our evangelism is with our lips. They got to go together. Nobody's getting saved just watching you, but somebody can wonder, what's the deal in your life? It's been changed, or the way you handle things, as an opportunity to give account of the hope that lies within us. So let's talk next week about what we're here in this fallen world for. Man, we watch the news. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen? But he ain't here yet. He's got work for us in the meantime. Won't it be something, I'll end with this, won't it be something for you one day to get to heaven and somebody come to you and say, you had a part in that. You had a part in that. You told me about Christ, or you gave me that track, or I know you were praying for me, or whatever. You would have a part of getting somebody else to heaven. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for, to the glory of God. Amen? Okay, we'll come to that next week. It's the most important lesson of all of the lessons we've had. If you're not here next week, you flunked the class. All right, you flunked the class. Tell that, whoever's not here today, you tell them. There's hope if they're here next week. Let's pray. Spiritual gifts. Father, thank you for your work of grace in our lives. May we then hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the bread of life, Christ, the bread of life, the word, to hear it, think about it, to live it, to be built up. We need to be built up today because Monday's coming. And we do live in a fallen world, but your grace is sufficient for us. So the time that we have, we don't know, our lives are like a vapor, but the time that we have, use our lives to the church to build up, be a blessing, and to the lost to be a light. Let men might see our lives, our good works, and glorify our Father who is in heaven, and that we might be able to give account of what Christ has done in our lives through that good news of a saving Christ. In his name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 I know.